I just walked right up to the street, so it did. Not a spot where I should find us.
All these Gemaras seem so familiar. I think you must have learned a lot of these Gemaras.
Yeah.
I think we're repeating. I don't remember. So I thought maybe we'll learn Pei Hei Amid Beis, start a new Mishnah in the middle of Periketz and Mishtatzim. I don't remember that we learned this. I'm not sure. Pei Hei Amid Beis is a Mishnah. It's dealing with the Takana Shleima HaMelech. Min HaTorah, if you have an area that has a mechitza around it, so it's a Rishus HaYochid. So it doesn't matter whether Reuven's family lives there, Shimon's family lives there. Rabbi Gold tells me that he has Yortzeit for his mother now, Rivka Leah Basher Tzvi. So we dedicate the learning tonight, Lizecha Nishmasa. So we discussed several times the Takana Shleima HaMelech, that when you have a Mokam Mukav mechitza, it's a Rishus HaYochid. So Manatara doesn't matter whether it's a city hall, it's offices, or it's a shop, or it's a private home. This family lives there, that family lives there. And Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that if the different families living in a different Rishuyis HaYochid, you have to make an Eruv HaChatzeris. So this din of Eruv HaChatzeris only applies if the people are living in a normal home that's Roy Ledira. What if they're living in a Beis Sharach Sedra or a Mirpeses, a hallway? Or they're living in a mirpeset. Mirpeset is you have a staircase that goes upstairs, and then you have also hallways that are exposed to the outside, and you have doors that you can enter into the different apartments. So someone, a family, is sleeping in the hallways, either the hallways that are exposed to the outside, or the hallways that have walls around them, or a beishar. It's a mokum that's mukav mechitzas, but it's not miyuchad fadira. So then the din is the second line in the Mishnah, Hadar Shemena Oyser Alov. Whoever lives there's no Takana Shleima HaMelech in such a case. If someone lives in the Beis Sharach Sedra Mepes, it's not a Mokam Aroy Ledira, it's not a Mokam Yuchad Ledira, so they don't ask around the other people. So Mele, when you collect the Ruvi Chatzeris, let's say I live in a big apartment building, let's say you have 100 families, 100 tenants. So 99, if they would all be Shomer Shabbos. Those who are Nochrim or those who are not Shomer Shabbos, you have to rent from them. And those who are Shomer Shabbos, so you have to have, let's say, 100 families are Shomer Shabbos, and 99 of them give a pas, 99 give a challah, and you put it in the home of the one person. So that's the Eruv HaChatzeris. So you have to put the Eruv in one of the batim. You can't put the Eruv in a Beis Sharach Sedra Mepesus, because that's not called a Mokam HaRoy LeDira. That's how the Mishnah says. And also, they say, Ruvah B'Beishar and Erev. If you collect the matzah and you put together all the matzah in a hallway, it's no good. You have to put it, but B'Beishar B'Chotzen. If someone lives in the B'Beishar, he doesn't ask around the other people. Yeah, this din, let's say the person does live in the apartment, does ask around the other people. So the Gemara says earlier, that's only if he lives there kavua. If you have people, or let's say you have people living in an apartment building, and someone's just sleeping over the weekend. All the other tenants live there kavua, and one family is only living there aroy over the weekend. So the Gemara has a din that achsenoi doesn't asim. Achsenoi means one who lives there less than 30 days. Those who live there permanently, unless everybody's an achsenoi. Let's say you have a hotel, and they rent out apartments, and nobody lives there kavua. Everybody just lives there for a week or two, or for a couple of days. So then it's as far that everybody will ask around everybody else. We'll have to find that maybe a hotel is different because it's fully furnished. That's the second half of the din in the Mishnah. But if everybody lives there kavua, if everybody lives there permanently, then they ask around each other. But if you have half of the people live there kavua, means more than 30 days. And the other half of the people live there only aroy less than 30 days. 30 days is called diras keva. Less than 30 days, diras aroy. So the din is achsenoi doesn't ask. So here we're talking about a case that people sleep, the people live in the hallways kavua. They live there for more than 30 days, so they don't ask around those who live in the homes for more than 30 days. Because whoever lives in the Beis Sharach Sedra Mepes doesn't count. What happens if you have a Beis HaTevin, Beis HaBoka, Beis HaEitzim, Beis HaOitzros? You have a room that's Roy Ledira, but it's not Miyuchad Ledira. They keep straw there, they keep behemoths there, they keep logs there, they store food there, Beis HaOitzros. So then it says, Hador Sham does aser. If someone lives there, he does aser. It is a makam aroy ledira. It's not miyuchad ledira, but it is a makam aroy ledira. And therefore, if we leave the Erev there, so that would be an acceptable Erev. Yeah. It's interesting, the next Mishnah has, on Pei Vavim, and before you finish this Mishnah, next Mishnah has a Machlekes HaTanaim, which I think we once did discuss part of it. Let's say you have an apartment building, and some of the people are away in the summertime. Turns out in the summertime there are only two or three families there, the rest of the apartment building is empty. So the din is that whoever is not there, that's some different shittas in the Mishnah, we pass, and whoever is not there does nasa. So that's what the Mishnah discusses. Haminiach beiso. Oh, so that's how we paskin. It depends whether the Yidin went away or the Goy. If it's a Goy, he's not a Shem Shabbos, and he may decide to come back in the middle of Shabbos, then he does Aser on the others. If he's a Yid, it's a Shem Shabbos, and it's not Shaykh, he's not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos, then he doesn't Aser. What if he's a Yid, he's not a Shem Shabbos, and he's in Europe, so he may come back in the middle of Shabbos, and then he does Aser. What if, let's say, it's a Goy, and he's in Australia? Is it just impossible? He can't come back in 24 hours. Or South Africa, whatever. He's so far away, the other side of the globe, he can't come back within 24 hours. So then also he doesn't das. So the Mishnah has a machlokes HaTanaim. Haminiach beiso v'holach lishbos bir acheres. He went away for Shabbos, he's not here. Does he aser or not? So the Tanna Kama holds echad nocher echad yisol hareza oiser. Doesn't matter whether he eats or a guy, he does aser, because this is his apartment, this is where he usually lives. Takana Shlaima Melech still applies. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Oiser. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't distinguish either. Rameh Rabbi Yehuda neither distinguishes between a Yid and a Goy. And we pass like the compromise sheet to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Nochri Oiser, if it's a Nochri who is not a Shem Shabbos, so he may come back in the middle of Shabbos. So then he does ask, it's considered as if he's still here. But if it's a Yid, a Yisrael, Ein Oiser, why is it Hishen Derech Yisrael over B'Shabbos? Yisrael is not going to come back from out of town, it's the Chutz L'Trum. What if the Israel is visiting by his children in the same city? So theoretically, if he wants to, he can walk back. It'll take him a half an hour. He can walk back to his own apartment. So does he ask us? So based on what Rabbi Yossi said, you should say that he will ask him. So Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon adzan, what if he's visiting by his children in the same city? In the same city as Tochat Chum, it's not Chutz L'Trum, he can come back. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, Eino Eisa, why should Kvar Hisiyam Ilibo? He's visiting by his daughter, so he's not going to come back in the middle of Shabbos, that's for sure. So that's what the Gemara says, it depends by the daughter-in-law. So the Gemara makes a distinction. No, that's how the Gemara has the Lashon. Omar Rav Halachik Rabbi Shimon, not only, we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, the difference between a Yid and a Goy, that the Yid is not going to come back from out of town in the middle of Shabbos, and the Goy may come back, it's not a Shem Shabbos. But we also pass like Rabbi Yossi, that if the Yid can come back to Chatrum, but why should he come back? He's spending Shabbos over there, unless we know that he plans to come back in the middle of Shabbos. He's going to a Simcha, and he's going to walk back and go to sleep over here. But if he see a Milibo, he made up his mind, they're going to stay there, so we pass like Rabbi Shimon, Halachik Rabbi Shimon, and then the Gemara adds on Vedavke Bita. Only Rabbi Shimon only says it if he's visiting by his daughter. Even though the daughter is married, he gets along with the son-in-law. That's not a problem. Avul Beno, but if he's visiting by his son who's married, Loi, then we have no right to assume that he's not going to come back middle of Shabbos. Why? The Amri Inshi, because there's a common expression that people have. If a male dog barks at you, so don't worry. If a female dog barks at you, if a female animal barks at you, so run the other way. So if your daughter, the assumption is that he's going to get along with his daughter. He may not get along with the son-in-law. Yeah, nishgefelech. If the male dog barks at you, the son-in-law is angry at the father-in-law, that's not a problem. But if the daughter-in-law is going to be barking at the in-law, so then it's not going to work out. Okay, so that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shad is like this. Let's say we have an apartment building. We always leave the Erev in one apartment. And that family who has the Erev, they went away to Eretz Yisrael. So they don't aser. So the rule in this Mishnah should have led us to believe that if they're not here, whoever lives in a place and does nasa, so he can't leave the Erev over there. So one might have jumped to the incorrect conclusion that if you leave the Erev in the apartment of a Jewish family who's not here for Shabbos, since they don't Aser, so that's not acceptable. The Erev has to be in an apartment that does Aser. So that's not correct. The apartment is Royal Adira. The apartment is an acceptable house. Just that the people are not there, the Shabbos, and they don't Aser. It's not the same as Beisharach Sedra Merpeset, that the room itself is not Royal Adira. So here the din is that if you left the Erev in the apartment of the family who are not here for Shabbos, that would be an acceptable area. The only issue is if you have to be able to have access to it. If the door is locked and no one has the key, it doesn't help that the super has the key, and if there's going to be a fire, there's going to leak, so the super can come in. The din is that the Shomer Shabbos all have to have access to the matzahs, to the Erev. Alel Shabbos, Lel Nisar Shabbos. Okay. So if they have an next door neighbor, let's say I have the keys for my next door neighbor has the keys to my apartment. So if you leave the matzahs either in my apartment or their apartment, so the area for the whole building is good, because everybody knows that we have access to the apartment on Leil Shabbos. Taka, when you make an area in an apartment building, you have to tell all the Shomer Shabbos where the box of matzahs is. If no one knows, if it's a deep, dark secret, they just know there's an area, but they don't know where it is. So how can you say that you have access to it? Access says that you know where it is, and we learned the Gemara list. We learned a few times that then. The Erev is only valid, it's only acceptable if all of the people who participate in the Bax of Matzahs are not makbid, if the others eat up their matzahs. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't use the chalas that you designated for Ilecha Mishnah, shouldn't use that for the Erev, because you would be makbid. You wouldn't want anybody to eat up your chalas, you're going to be left without any meal for Shabbos. So this is the din in the Mishnah.
I'm not saying Allah, they bring and you don't pass them like Rav, who pass them like Shimon here.
Yeah. Why are we ever machmer? I don't know. Halach de'Rameka means if you don't have a personal opinion, you have no personal opinion, so then you follow the kula opinion.
No one argued on Rav saying that Halach should be like Rav Shimon in the Gemara, yet we're not holding like that.
I don't know. Well, we don't. I think we do pass like Rav Shimon. I think we do pass like Rav Shimon.
I didn't see the letter on it.
Yeah, so yeah.
Okay.
I think we pass like Rav Yehuda. You see the difference in a Jew and a Goy. And then we pass like Rav Shimon in addition, that even if the Jew went to a different apartment over Shabbos, he see him in Libo, he doesn't plan to come back. I think we do pass like Rav Shimon. I'm pretty sure it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Now, the last, here, the Mishnah on Pehei Omid Beis, the last line in the Mishnah has an important din. A beautiful in there. True, if you have, let's say, an apartment building, and different tenants live in the different apartments, and the Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, they ask around each other, so you have to make an Eruv Chatzeres. Rabbi Yehuda says, what if Miyeshom Tvisus Yad Shal Balabayis Eina Oiser? So the Gemara gives an example. Let's say the whole apartment building belongs to one person, and he lives in the building also. And he has his personal property in all of the different apartments. So when he rents them out to different families, he tells them, I'm renting you out the apartment, but it's on the understanding that I still retain the right to leave all of my, I have trunks full of stuff there in everybody's apartment. So if I just have Svarim there, that's not called a Tvisas Yad. The Gemara says the only time it has the status of a Tvisas Yad is if the thing, here's the Gemara right before the Mishnah, Peivav Amid Aleph. The last five lines before the first Mishnah. On Peivav Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Tana de Beis Shmuel, we have a Braisa. Let's say I own the apartment building and I have Svarim all over the place, and all the 100 apartments I have Svarim, I have folding tables, I have folding chairs, I have all kinds of things, but none of the things are Muktzah, the light items that are not Muktzah. So he says, the Braisa says, Dovah Hanitel B'Shabbos, since you might decide to collect all your stuff on Shabbos, so all of the people do ask around each other. Rabbi Yehuda is cooler in the Mishnah that if the Balabas has Tfisas Yad in everyone's apartment, only then there's no need for an Uruv Chatzeris. It's considered as if they're all guests by the one Balabas. That only applies if the Balabas leaves Dovar Sheina Nitol B'Shabbos. If he leaves Muktzadika things, I have a heavy, a vacuum cleaner, heavy refrigerator, a heavy washing machine, or a dishwasher, or something like that, in each one of the apartments. So then the din is that if there's Tvisas Yad of the Balabais in each one of the apartments, it's considered as if they're all guests by the Balabais, and no one asks on each other. So that's Taka the way we pass. So this was a big shaila in Europe in recent years, and here in America is a shaila. Let's say you have a landlord, and the landlord has a refrigerator in everyone's apartment. So it's not that the landlord retains the right to use the apartment with respect to leaving refrigerators there. He's obligated by contract to supply the tenant with a refrigerator. So that's really the hishtamshus of the tenant. It's not the hishtamshus of the balabayis, that he retains the right to use everybody's apartment. That's the hishtamshus of the tenant, that the balabas and mukhif to supply him with a refrigerator. So some of the gedolim in Europe held that that's not called tfisas yad. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, so he writes he doesn't think that it makes a difference. He doesn't see why it should make a difference. So Ramosha is mekel on that. And then Ramosha has a further kula. The pashtus, when you learn the Mishnah, especially you look in the Rabbeinu Yohanan on the side of the rift, so you get the impression that this halacha of tfisas yad, that if the balabayis retains the right to use everybody's apartment, he leaves heavy muktzadika things there in everybody's apartment, not svarim, or not folding tables or folding chairs. He leaves heavy stuff there, heavy trunks with all kinds of muktzadika zachen, so everybody's considered a guest of the balabas. They get the impression from the Rabbeinu Yohanan that it means the balabas lives in the building also, and all of the and he has a hishtamshes in all of the 100 apartments. He leaves something in all the apartments, so it's considered as if he's living in all the apartments. So in the Mele, you don't say it's different families living in the different apartments. Balabas lives all over. What if the Balabas Bechlal doesn't live here? Balabas lives in Texas. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, wherever. He doesn't live in this building. So one could have argued the point and said that that's not a din of Tvisas Yad Oram. Or let's say the owners of the apartment building are Bechlal, not a person. It's ILGUW, whatever it's called. It's a foundation or something. There is no human being who owns it. So maybe the whole din of Tvisas Yad doesn't apply. So Ramosha writes, he doesn't see that that makes a difference. He says even if the balabas doesn't live in the building, he assumes a davar pashut, and even if it's a foundation or an organization that owns the building, it's not even a human being bichlal. It's an organization still. He thinks that if the organization owns a refrigerator that's in everybody's apartment, so that's a din of Tvisas Yad, and you don't need an Erev. So there are those who disagree with Ramosha. Ramosha used to tell people, if you want to make an Erev, don't say a bracha, because in his opinion, it'll be a bracha levatol. He held that you don't need an Erev in such a case.
Rabbi Shifter, let me ask you, maybe it's not Megira to the Vav you learn. If you have a house, and you have a Ber Mayim in the backyard.
You have a Bor of Mayim?
A Ber Mayim.
Yeah.
Can you show Mayim in Shabbos?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to, that's going to be the next mission. Is going to talk about drawing water on Shabbos. Yeah, I can if it's in my backyard, yeah. So it's all swallowed up in my rishus hayachad. I have walls around the whole. Let's say I have a house that's on the ocean, so I want to draw a bucket of water for the ocean. So the ocean is a carmelis, so I'm not permitted to carry from the carmelis into my house. Well, let's say I live on the 10th floor in an apartment building that overlooks the ocean, so I want to throw a bucket out of my window with a long cord and pull in water. So that's, I'm pulling in water from a carmelis into the rishus hayachid. That you're not allowed to do. But if the bor of mayim is in my backyard with mechitzas around the whole backyard, so the mechitzas swallow everything up, and the bor is considered a rishus hayachid. Yeah. Yeah. So the mishnayos are going to discuss how to make mechitzas to a trick. How to make mechitzas to draw water from the ocean also.
The case of tfisas yad, is that where the landlord is allowed to leave things wherever he wants in my apartment, or is there pre-agreed upon parts of my apartment where he says, okay, you know, this area is really mine because I can use it whenever, I can leave things here.
Even if he only has the right to leave it in one location, it's also good.
But as if long it's as only one location, wouldn't you say that it's really, that the tenant is really renting the rest of the apartment, but this part of the apartment he's not renting?
I don't think so. It's a taina, but I don't think so. I think the din is still that since the balabas, the pashta said the balabas lives in the building, and he has the ishtamshis in all of the apartments, and then I say it's considered as if one person is living in all 100 apartments, so there's no need for an erev chatzeres. Moshe had his chiddush even if the balabas doesn't live in the apartment, even if there is no person. It's still considered as if it's one day's dira. They don't ask around each other. Yeah.
It has to be Jewish, no? Corporation.
No. No, it doesn't even have to be Jewish. Let's say it's owned by a non-Jewish corporation. If there's Tfisas Yad in all of the apartments, it's considered as if one person is living in all the apartments. Yeah. So the Gemara asks on the bottom of the daf, Hechidami Tfisas Yad, what's an example of a Tfisas Yad? So they say, Kigon Chatzer Rochel, there was a wealthy millionaire, whatever his name is, Banayas Ben Banayas. Some kind of a wealthy balabas. And he had a whole apartment building, and he used to rent out apartments to different people. And he had so much, he was in plumbing, whatever, he had so much extra plumbing or machinery that he left a little bit in all of the apartments. So no one asked it on anybody else, because he had a thesis yard in everyone's apartment. So now the Gemara happens to tell a story. Who was this fellow, Benayis Ben Benayis? He was a very wealthy balabas, and he had this big building he used to rent out. The Gemara says, on one occasion, he lived in the days of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. The Rebbe, when this balabas once visited Rebbe, the Rebbe said, oh, we have to be mechabed. Rebbe's practice was he would be mechabed ashirim. He was going to say in the next daf. So Rebbe said, panu mokoim leden me'amana. Go, be mechabed this person, he's a wealthy balabas. Then another person came, and Rebbe thought that the other person was wealthier than the first one. So he said, oh, you have to be mechabed him also, because he's even wealthier than the first one. So they told Rebbe, Amru Lefanov, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi. So the one of the Tlainim who was there told them, Rebbe, with all due respect, Chief Rabbi, Aviv Shalzeh, this guy Benayis, Ben Benayis, he's a multi-billionaire. You made a mistake. You're being mechabed the second person because you think that he's wealthier than the first person. No, you should know, Aviv Shalzeh, the father of this first person, Yeshla Elef Sinas Bayam, he has 1,000 ships, Kenegnan Elef Yaras Bayabosh, he owns 1,000 cities, and he rents out, and he makes all of the rental, and so on. So Rebbe says, it's an avla gedoyla. When you meet the fellow's father, tell him he should dress his son up in wealthier, fancier clothing. Because I made a mistake. I didn't realize that he was such a multi-billionaire. I thought he was only a millionaire. If I would have known, I would have been mechabin and more. That's what he says. When you meet the fellow's father, don't let your son walk around like such a schlepper and such poor clothing. Insist that he should dress properly. Because this was Rebbe's policy, Rebbe Mechabed Hashirim. Rebbe Akiva was also Mechabed Hashirim. Yeah. Why were they Mechabed Hashirim? So in the Mishnah Brura, they talk about the din in Hilchas Kriyashma. That it says in the Pasuk Kriyashma, V'dibarta bom, V'shiftecha b'veisecha v'lechtecha v'aderech v'shach b'chav kamecha. So the Pasuk Pshad, V'dibarta bom, you should recite Kriyashma. V'shiftecha v'lechtecha v'shach b'chav kamecha. You should say Kriyashma Shalaris, Kriyashma Shalshachris. You should talk and learning all the time when you're traveling and so on. So the Yerushalmi has an additional level of interpretation, v'dibarta bom, you should talk in the middle of Kriyashma. You should talk in the middle of Kriyashma. What does that mean?
Not in the middle of Shema
Nesra. But not in the middle of Shema Nesra. V'dibarta bom v'loi b'tfilo. There's a heta to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma. Sometimes no heta to be mafsik in the middle of Shema Nesra. So what kind of a heta to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyashma? So it says sometimes b'tnei HaKovet, sometimes b'tnei HaYira. And whom do you have to be mechabed? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, a parent comes in, a rebbe comes in, and he doesn't realize that I'm saying Kriyashma, so he should say good Shabbos, good morning, whatever. You're allowed to be mafsik, sometimes only to answer them, sometimes even to initiate the greeting, whether you're meishib ifnei ha-kovet or shoel ifnei ha-kovet. So it says, if a nashir comes in, you have to be mechabed a nashir. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes, I think, from the Rabbeinu Yoina. On that then, why do you have to be mechabed ashir? Why did Rebbe have the practice to be mechabed ashir? So he says, if min ha-shamayim, they saw to it that this man should be so wealthy, it must be that there's a good reason, and that's why you have to be mechabed him. Here on the bottom of the page, Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the bottom of Pevov and Manalef, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the Maharil, who gives a different reason. The Rebbe was the big Talmid Chacham, he was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, so he didn't want people to be mechabed him because of his learning, he felt uncomfortable. So he was in the practice of being mechabed Ashirim, and he was a wealthy person also, so the people will follow his style, they'll be mechabed him because of his wealth. Rebbe wanted to be mechabed Ashirim so that the people who would be mechabed him would not be mechabed him for his learning. They felt uncomfortable. They should be mechabed him for his wealth, which is meaningless. So that's why Rebbe had the attitude to be mechabed Ashirim. Also, the same reason. The same reason. Yeah.
So, Minishimayim, they made somebody a big money.
I don't know. Well, the Gemara says, why you mechaber Ashirim? Because they help out Anin, because they give a lot of tzedakah.
Oh, so anybody who does Maisim Tovim,
yeah. The Gemara Taka says like that. The Gemara Kiddushin, when they have the sugya, thank you. The Gemara Kiddushin has the sugya about standing up for a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, you stand up for a Bal Maisim, for a person who's a Yirei Shamayim and a Medaktik B'mitzvahs. So that's a Machlekes Arishayim, and that Gemara Machlekes the Ramban and the Ran. The Ran on the Rif quotes the Ramban and he disagrees. What is that all about? The Chumash says, you stand up out of respect for a Talmud Chacham. Where do you come off to say you have to stand up for a Bal Maisim, for a person who's not specially known for his learning, but he's a Yirei Shamayim? Okay, that's when he's performing the mitzvah, yeah, out of respect for the mitzvah. But over here, he's not performing the mitzvahs now, but he's known as a big medaktik mitzvah. So some of the Rishonim hold that this is a real din deraisa. Because why do you have to stand up for the Talmud Chacham? Not so much because of his Torah learning, but rather because we assume that whoever is greater in learning will probably be a greater Yirei Shamayim. We have no barometer to measure anyone's Yirei Shamayim. So the only way we have to measure is we assume that Torah Mevila Dei Zahiris, and Zahiris Mevila Dei Zrizus, and Zrizus Mevila Dei Yirei Shamayim, and so on and so forth. So we usually assume that the more learned a person is, so the greater he will be a Talmud Chacham. Sometimes you have a person who's very learned, and we know he's not honest. We know he's not a Yirei Shamayim. So then the Gemara Takas, there was a character by the name of Gneva. So he lived in the days of the Amorim. So when Gneva knew how to learn very well, but he was a disgusting person. He didn't get along with people. He wasn't so medaktik and mitzvahs either. So Gemara tells in Bava Basra that he once walked in when the other Talmid Chacham was sitting and learning. They were discussing, should we stand up for Gneva or not? On the one hand, he knows how to learn better than all of us put together. On the other hand, he's a Bal Machlekes. He gives everybody a hard time. So they decided they're not going to stand up. You only stand up for the Talmud Chacham if his learning led to Yirei Shamayim. So some Rishonim say, that's the whole mitzvah to stand up for Talmud Chacham. Not so much out of respect for his learning, but we assume that his learning probably led him to be a greater Yirei Shamayim. So if you have a person who's very learned, we know he's not a Yirei Shamayim, you don't stand up. In the reverse, if you have a person whom we know is a Yirei Shamayim, and he's not so learned, then you would stand up for him. You don't have to prove that he's a Yirei Shamayim based on his learning. We know he's a Yirei Shamayim. And other Rishonim disagree, and they say that it's wrong. The Gemara says that standing up for the Talmud Chacham is out of Kavod HaTorah, not out of Kavod HaMitzvah. The Gemara makes a Kal V'chomer. How do you know that when they take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh, everybody has to stand up? The Gemara says it's a kal v'chaimah. If mipnei lomdeha omdim miponel lekolshken, if you stand up for the one who learns for the Talmud Chacham, then certainly you have to stand up for the Sefer Torah itself. If you're going to tell me the way those Rishonim said that standing up for the Talmud Chacham is not so much out of respect for his learning, but rather out of respect for his Yirei Shamayim, so what has got to do with the Sefer Torah? The Sefer Torah is bechlal not a person. So that's why the other Rishonim disagree, and they say that standing up for the medaktik b'mitzvahs, for the Yirei Shamayim, that's a midas chasidus mikra din, it's not. The Gemara recommends it, but that's not the real din deraisa. So here the Gemara has such an idea. The reason why Rebbe mechaber Ashirim and Rebbe Kiva mechaber Ashirim, the Gemara says, kididorish rava bar meri, because these people who are Ashirim and they use their money to do tzedakah v'chesed, so they keep the world going. They keep the world functioning. The Gemara says, because of the Maise Chesed and Tzedakah that wealthy people do, so that keeps the world going. So that's the din of Tfisas Yad. Whenever there's Tfisas Yad, whenever there's one person has a Tfisas Yad in all the apartments, so then you don't have to have, you don't need an Eruv. But the Tfisas Yad, someone said, the telephone company has a telephone in every spot. The telephone belongs to the telephone company. Doesn't belong to me. What? It's only rented.
In the 50s. No more.
Yeah. I don't know. The telephone company, Bechad, they don't live here. I don't know if Rav Moshe would be making on the telephone either. I don't know. The Pashtus is, not like Rav Moshe, Pashtus is it's only a person who lives in the building and it has a Tvisas Yad, something heavy or something Muktzadika thing in all of the apartments. And not only does he live in the one apartment, it's considered as if he lives in all the 100 apartments. But if he doesn't live here, bechlau, that's problematic. Rav Moshe extended it, even an organization or an institution or a foundation. That's a wapra of a chiddush. Okay, then the next Mishnah has, the second Mishnah in Peivav and Aleph, has the shaila of drawing water from a well. So if the well is, the well is in the middle of the backyard, and there are walls around the whole backyard, so everything that's encompassed, everything that's included within the walls is considered a Rishus HaYachid. So here the Mishnah has a discussion. Reuven's family lives in this home. Shimon's family lives in this home. And the property line really goes like this. And the well is right in the middle. So the property line cuts through the well. So here, and these two people didn't make an Erev Chatzeres together. So Reuven is not allowed to carry, no one's allowed to carry from Reuven's backyard to Shimon's backyard, or from Shimon's backyard to Reuven's backyard, because they never made an Erev Chatzeres. There is a Pesach in between them. There is an, if there's no opening, you can't even make an Erev Chatzeres if you try. But there is a Pesach in between. You have the ability to make an Erev Chatzeres, but they didn't make an Erev Chatzeres. So then the din is, you're not allowed to draw water from the well, because the property line cuts through the middle of the well. So when you'll be drawing water, it's going to be nifretz l'makom asur. Even if you're only going to throw your bucket in, let's say it's a wide, it's a big well, I'm going to throw my bucket into my half of the well, but it's nifretz l'makom asur. My half of the well is open into the other half of the well. So you're not allowed to carry from this half of the well into my rishus, because it opens up into the other half. So how can you be misakin this, that each of the two families, Reuven and Shimon, should be allowed to draw water? So the Mishnah says, Borsha ben shtei chatzeros, there's a bor smack in the middle, and half of it is in the property of Reuven, half in the property of Shimon. You have to have a mechitza separating in between. So Reuven is going to be taken from his half of the well, Shimon will be drawing water from his half of the well. Where is this mechitza going to be? Where do you place it? So the Mishnah says, Bein melamata, bein mitoch ogno. It doesn't matter whether it's very low down, or mitoch ogno means around the well. Usually you have bricks surrounding the well, and no one should fall in. So that's the ogon of the well, the depth of the well. So it says it can either be very far down, melamata, or suspended in the ogon. What exactly, what's milamata, what's the ogon? We'll have to figure it out. Rav Shimon Gamliel claims that this issue is a machlekes b'sham and b'sil. The Shabbai insists that it's only mutter to draw water from your half of the well if the mechitza that separates between the two is milamata all the way down. B'sil will say milamailo. What do you mean? Either milamailo or milamata. So what's going on here? So the Gemara explains, on the last few lines on the daf, the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. And here, since you want to draw water, so we require that at least part of the mechitza, 10 tefachim tall, so at least one tefach of the mechitza should be suspended above the water, and at least one tefach of the mechitza should be in the water. So you can have, if you want 9 tefachim above the water, one tefach in the water. You can have 9 tefachim below the surface of the water, one tefach above. But we paskin, you have to have both. Part of the mechitza should be above the water surface. Part of the mechitza should be in the water. No one requires that the mechitza, we don't require that the mechitza should be all the way on the ground. Maisa, it's going to be a mechitza tluy. It's going to be suspended in the air. So usually, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss on Amud Beis. Usually the din is that a mechitza teluya is not acceptable. A mechitza only has the status of a mechitza if it comes within 3 tefachim to the ground. If it's suspended, if it's lavud, if it's not within 3 tefachim to the ground, so it doesn't have the status of mechitza. That's when we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. The Gemara said it's called a mechitza shehagdoyim bokimbo. If the animals can jump under it, so then it doesn't have the status of mechitza. So how high does it have to be that the animal should, the goat should be able to jump under? So that was a machlekes hatanoim, the chachamim, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, whether 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim. We pass on 3 tefachim. That's where the din of lavud comes from. The shear of lavud was established by the tanoim that is 3 tefachim. The original shear that Allah Moshe Mitzina wasn't really nemar at its 3 tefachim. It was really formulated mechitzah shagdayim bokimbo. And the chachamim, what mishayer? How much space do you need for gedayim to jump? Is 3 tefachim. So the Gemara says over here, we are being makel over here, even though the mechitzah is suspended in the air. Om Rabbi Yudah says in the Mishnah, lotei mechitzah gedolah min hakosel shebeinei. If you have a wall that separates in between the two, and the wall continues. The wall is suspended on the ground level. Here, the bar is in the middle. So on the ground, the wall goes here and goes here. And then this wall is still suspended above the top of the bor. So Rabbi Yehuda says that we can be mekel even with that. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like the Gemara explains on the bottom of Amud Aleph, that you need a mechitza 10 tefachim tall. At least one tefach of the mechitza should be dipping in the water. At least one tefach of the mechitza should be above the water. You have to have a little bit above, a little bit in. So the Gemara is now discussing Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda says even if the whole mechitza is suspended above, none of the mechitza is dipping in the water, it's still good. That's the Gemara in Pei Vav Amud Beis. The whole mechitza is above. So the Gemara says about the 8 lines from the top. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Where do we see another Tana who says like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amar. Rabbi Yehuda is going with the same shita of Rabbi Yosi in Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara there in Sukkah discusses the situation. The Amar Rabbi Yosi's opinion is mechitza tluya materas afila by Yabosha. Not only is it a kula by Mayim, we'll have to get to that. A special kula mechitza tluya is materas by Mayim, but the Rabbi Yosi's opinion is, because to carry in a, that's the Mishnah that someone mentioned before. Rabbi Gold mentioned that Mishnah before. That's the Mishnah Pei Zayin on the base. Other Mishnah is like that. Let's say there's an apartment building right over the ocean, and someone lives on the 10th floor and he wants to throw it a wooden bucket into the ocean and draw water. So you're not allowed to, because the ocean is a Carmelis and his apartment is a Rishus HaYochid. So you're not allowed to carry from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid. So the Mishnah says, an Eitzah, let's say he has a landing, he has a platform, like we have a fire escape. So he has a Mirpeset, a terrace, that oversees the ocean. So the Mishnah has a suggestion. Let's say this is his terrace. That it's attached to the side of the building, and it's right on top of the ocean. So the Mishnah says in Eitzah, well, the wall of the apartment building is one mechitza. Take cardboard sheets and make mechitzas. Let's say here's the terrace. So here's the wall of the building is over here, so that's one mechitza. Take cardboard and put it over here, 10 tefachim down here, 10 tefachim down here, 10 tefachim down here. So now you have 4 mechitzas, 1, 2, 3, 4. 3 of the mechitzas are only 10 tefachim tall. The other mechitzas is the side of the apartment building that goes all the way down to the ocean. So this area directly below the terrace will have the status of a Rishus HaYochid. How can it be a Rishus HaYochid? But the mechitzas are suspended 10 stories up. The mechitzas are suspended from the bottom of the terrace, the bottom of the merpeset, and it's all the way up there, 10 flights up. So So usually say good aches, if you have mechitzas that are suspended above the ground, you visualize as if you stretch them down and they reach the ground. But if it's not within 3 talking to the ground, then it's no good teignish, because mechitzas shagdoyim bokim bo is not acceptable. So the Gemara says kalu shekilo chachamim b'may. Since the whole prohibition that you're worrying about over here is because it's a karmelis, not dealing with a real rishus harabim, you're dealing with a karmelis, so they were mekel that a mechitzas tlu is acceptable. Al gabi hamayim, to be mat the tiltel from the karmelis into the apartment. So I say the rest of the ocean is a karmelis, the rest of the river is a karmelis, but the part of the river that's directly below my mirpeset, because I have the 4 walls, one wall goes all the way down to the ground. That's the wall of the front of the apartment building. The other 3 walls only have to be suspended 10 tefachim on the side of the mirpeset. So this whole area directly below the mirpeset is mukav dala mechitzas. So there I'm mekel to say good aches mechitzas, even though it's gedoyim bokim bo. So that's the psak halacha, the kalu shekilo chachamim b'mayim. It's a special kula, because carrying in the ocean is only an issue of a karmelis. Now the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yehuda sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yosi, mechitza tluya materas afila b'yabasha. Not only is it mater, that's the Gemara's loshen and peivov and mebeis, about 10 lines from the top. Rabbi Yehuda is b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amor. Rabbi Yehuda over here in the Mishnah and Erevin and peivov and aleph is going with the shita of Rabbi Yosi from Sukkah, Daf Tezayin. What does Rabbi Yosi say? Mechitza tluya is good even by Yabasha. It's not a special kula b'mayim because of karmelis. What did Rabbi Yosi say? This not. Rabbi Yosi says there, Mishnah is describing. Man puts the schach up, Pashim Shah, he puts the schach first. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah has a chumrah that you shouldn't put the schach before you put the tfanis, because that's a problem of tasa v'lamin ha'osi. The din is that you have to have asiya chag ha'sukas tasa l'cho. The asiya ha'schach is supposed to be machshir the sukkah. So the Ramah has this chumrah. You're supposed to put first the tfanis and then you put the schach afterwards. There seem to be many mishnais and many gemaras, but it doesn't sound like that. From the simple reading of the mishnah, it sounds not like. So they all ask. The pashtus says that the Ramah is only a chumrah. So the pashtus says that that's what the Mishnah is describing here. The fellow put his schach already up on top, but he doesn't have any tfanis. So he starts weaving tfanis. He has an outline. He has, let's say, metal bars or something, and he starts taking sheets, and or he's weaving it. So he's mishalshel tfanis mil ma'ilo lemato. He decided where his schach is. His schach is there already. And he starts wrapping sheets around, from the top to the, say, how far down does it, let's say the schach is very high up, he expects to have people 6.5 feet tall walking into his sukkah. You're going to have the schach at least 7 feet tall. You have to give people a chance to stretch out a little bit. He's going to have schach 7-8 feet tall. Fine. So does he have to have the finus all the way, the whole 7 feet tall, from the ground all the way to the top? So that's not necessary. So how far down does he have to go? He starts from the schach and he's working his way down with wrapping around the mechitzas around and around. So the Tanakhama says, "Bisman shigvayis morad gimel tefachim psula." If the tefanas are not within lava to the ground, it's not within 3 tefachim to the ground. Teignish, because the mechitzah d'luya is no good. Same din in Hilchas Shabbos is in Hilchas Sukkah, that you have to have mechitzah she'ein agdoyim bokim bo. If you have 3 tefachim missing on the bottom, it's no good. In gvayis your tefachim ksheir. Oh, how does it say? If it's mimato lamailo, what if he starts wrapping around the tfanos instead of starting from the top down, he starts from the bottom up? So then when he reaches the point of 10 tfachim, even though the schach is 8 feet high and the tfanos are just below, the tfanos are only 40 inches tall, that's 10 tfachim tall, that's acceptable. You say good asik mechitza. You have a mechitza that starts from the ground, that starts within 3 tfachim to the ground, so that has the status of a mechitza. It reaches the point, you don't even need the mechitza, you don't even require the mechitza to have 10 tefachim. Let's say the gap is only 2.5 tefachim on the bottom, and the mechitza is going to be 7.5 tefachim. So 7.5 and 2.5 adds up to 10. So alpidin is considered, lovet is considered kisasim dami. So it's considered as if you have mechitza that are 10 tefachim tall. And then the schach is 8 feet above. So that's not a problem, as long as the fanos of the sukkah directly below the schach, so then you visualize as if good asik mechitzah, you visualize as if the mechitzahs are stretched. The word good means to stretch. Limshoch. Like good or yogud. When you have two partners and they want to break up the partnership, so the halacha says, either partner has a right to say, either you buy me out good, or good, give me the opportunity, I should buy you out. I want to be meshich your share. Either you'll be make a meshich on my share, I'll make a Mashiach on your share. The din of good or yogurt is, you have to, let's say we have a shutvis, we have a business together. So I say, let's say the business is worth $500,000, and I want to buy you out. So Tosis says, I have the right to say, I assess the business as being valued as $1.5 million, and you own 50% and I own 50%. So the one who wants to break up the shutvis has to give the other partner the first crack at buying him out. So he says, I assess the value of the whole business $1.5 million, so if you want, give me $750,000 and buy me out. The reason why I made such an exaggerated price is because I want to buy you out. I have more money than you. So that's one way. So that's the expression that Gemara has, good or yogur. Good means mishoch, or yogur, or I will be my chef, your share of the shutfis. So that's, Rashi always says, that's the same expression over here, good asik mechitzta, and good achiz. Good means, if you have a mechitza, so you visualize as if you're stretching it up, good asik, to go up. And good achiz means to go down. So if you started the mechitza milmato lemaila, you started the tfanus around the sukkah on the ground level, or within 3 tefachim to the ground. So once you reach 10 tefachim, that's good enough. It doesn't have to reach all the way 8 feet tall, provided that the tfanis are directly below the schach. Then is, let's say you have tfanis, and the schach is in the middle. A lot of times people make a gigantic sukkah, but they're not going to have so many people, let's say in Washington Heights, they have sukkahs in each apartment building, but most of the people go away for sukkahs. They go to the children, they go to Eretz Yisrael, whatever, so there hardly anybody stays behind. So they don't need tzchak that should cover the whole top of the sukkah. So they put a lot of tzchak in the middle of the sukkah, and on the sides it's empty. So the Mishnah says that that's not acceptable. The tzchak has to reach within three tefachim to the tefanis. So the tefanis are over here, and the tzchak is in the middle. So you have to make sure the tzchak should be within three tefachim to the tefanis. Let's say the tefanis don't reach all the way so high. The tefanis are only 10 tefachim tall, and you have the tzchak in the middle. So even if you'll visualize as if the tefanis are extending up, but they're not going to bump into the tzchak, if you would visualize them extending up, the theoretical line would be within three tochim to where the schach is. But that's not lovet. Lovet is if something was within three tochim to something else, not the imaginary line that you would draw would be within three tochim to the schach.
Isn't that enough love to where you can combine two halachim emotion and Sinai's lahakel? Like some say you do combine it. You do say kudasid. And you say,
Dofen Akuma, I think. Dofen Akuma is a machloikis, yeah.
Lovet.
Yeah.
But not a
lovet. I don't think you say, I love it with a good achis, with no. A good asik mechitzna. I don't think so. Dofen Akuma is only by schach posel. So let's say, Dofen Akuma is, let's say, I have the fanes that don't reach the schach. And then the outside of the schach is all schach posel. So I'm going to say, good asik mechitzta, you visualize as if the mechitzas go up, and then you still, the schach that's directly above is schach pasul. So there's good asik mechitzta, the visualizing as if the mechitza goes up, as if the tefanis go up, enables me to declare doifen akuma up until four ames around the outskirts of the schach is an extension of the wall. And in the middle, I'm going to have schach zayin al zayin. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says it's good, and Rabbi Kivege quotes that there are those Rishonim who disagree. That's called trei hilchasa, whether you allow that. But to say good asik mechitzdo, and then it's still not going to be within tzitfachim to the schach, then you're going to have to say lovud. So I think everybody agrees that that's no good. You can't say lovud from an imaginary line. Lovud means two things are next to each other within three tzitfachim. But you don't say the imaginary line is within three tefachim to where the schach is. Yeah. That's a double raise.
In the case of our Mishnah, so water flows from, water is not going to just, you know, stay where it is. If you take some out, whatever is on the other side is going to go to its bottom. So, did you start off with, a well which is 100 gallons, 50 on your side, 50 on the other side, you could potentially draw the whole 100 gallons during the Shabbos.
Enochinami, that's considered groma. When I draw water from this side of the mele, the other water from the other side is going to move here, so I'm not doing that by a dime. So the Gemara says that usually a gram melocha we don't allow. Here it's only groma on a whole dinder abonon.
So what about if the other side was not your neighbor but was a Rishus Harabim? Then you would not be able to do it?
Rishus Harabim not. The Grum and a Carmelis we would allow. The Gemara says Grum and a Carmelis we allow. The Gemara talks about the sewage systems. We have all the dirty water going down. I think it's the end of this parak. And Pechesam and Aleph, the Mishnais and the Gemara says about that. So we assume that this is usually going to be Grum. The water goes down the drain, and then ultimately it's going to the drain. The house is a Rishus Hayachid. The drain that goes down Vayta Rishus, then it's going to go to a location where it's going to be moving into a Carmelis. But I'm not the one who pushed it into the Carmelis. I have little water go down, and then ultimately it's going to bounce, and it's going to ultimately move into the Carmelis. So since it's only a Carmelis and it's only Groma, so then it would never go there because it's you want to have a sewage system, a toilet system like that. So the Mishnah says that that's permissible. That's the last Mishnah in the parak.
So if the well was between you and the Rishus Harabim,
then you wouldn't permit it. No, it's only Groma is only Mutter because you're only dealing with the Carmelis. It's hard to visualize how can it possibly be a Rishus Harabim. I mean, the water is going to go into Rishus HaRabim, but the water is coming from Rishus HaRabim. Probably it's not going to be a Rishus HaRabim. Rare that it's going to be a Rishus HaRabim. So this is the Machlekes HaTanoim on Peivov and Beis. The Gemara quotes this Mishnah from Sukkah. If the fellow is making the Tfanas Mil Mato Lamailo, so once he reaches 10 Tfachim Tol, and the Schach is directly above, the schach is directly above the tfanus, then I say good asik mechitza. I visualize as if I stretch the mechitzas up and they bump into the schach and everything is fine. But if you're doing faket hamashal shel tfanus mimailo lamato, the schach is 8 feet above the ground and I start making tfanus around and around and I make 10 tfachim at tfanus and I stop and it's nowhere near 3 tfachim to the ground. So the Tanakhama says that it's no good. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Rabbi Yossi says no, it's okay. Kishem, just like Shemilmato Lamaila Asar Tfachim, just like if you start from the ground and you go up 10 Tfachim. It's good, you say good. Asik, Kach similarly, Milamaila Lamata Asar, if you have 10 Tfachim suspended 9 feet above the, 8 feet above the ground, it's also good, no problem. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yudin, in our Mishnah, isn't concerned about anything. Rabbi Yudin says, what's the problem? You have a Mechitza here, Mechitza here, and it's a Pirtza of Pachas Meyasar over here, so he doesn't see any problem. You have a little bit of mechitza going on, but he says mechitza tluya doesn't pose a problem. There's no requirement that you should have half of the mechitza dipping in the water, part of the mechitza above the water. He doesn't see any problem. So the Gemara thought the Rabbi Yehuda is saying this like there's no problem whatsoever. Not that he's giving a, he's kvetching a kula that mechitza gabi mayim, so a mekel because it's only a karmelis. No, he doesn't see any problem at all. So the Gemara thought the Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yossi over there. So then the Gemara says, not necessarily so, v'loihi. You don't necessarily have to say that these two are the same. Lo Rabbi Yehuda sovelo k'Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef sovelo k'Rabbi Yehuda. There's room to distinguish between them. Why? Rabbi Yehuda over here is talking about takana shleim ha'melech. He's talking about a din d'rabbanan. Basically, there are walls around Reuven, and this is Reuven's backyard, this is Shimon's backyard. There are walls that go around the whole thing. So in Atar, the whole thing is one big happy rishus hayochid. Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that since Reuven's family lives here, Shimon's family lives here, so they ask them on each other unless they make an Erev. They didn't make an Erev. So you're talking over here, well, they have a mechitza separating, but the mechitza is mechitza tluya. So the Gemara says, come on, what are you dealing with? Takana Shlomo HaMelech, you're not dealing with the real issue thereis. So when you get to this din d'rabbana, the takana Shlomo HaMelech, Averuvi Chatzeres, Shabuda is Mekel. But with respect to a sukkah, you're dealing with the real issue thereis. Are they called the Fanas or not? So the Gemara says there's room to say Rabbi Yehuda would not agree with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda is over like Rabbi Yossi. How come a kam Rabbi Yehuda elabei ruvi chatzer is the Rabbanan? You're just dealing with an issue of takonish lo mamelach. Aval sukkah, we're dealing with an issue there, I see. No, Rabbi Yehuda will probably hold that Rabbi Yehuda may hold like the Tanakhama, like the accepted opinion, that a mechitza tluya that's suspended above the air, it's more than 3 tefachim above the ground, is not a good mechitza. And then on the other hand, there's room to distinguish. There's room to distinguish it. Even Rabbi Yossi, who is makel by the din deraisa, by the sukkah, it could be that he would not agree with Rabbi Yehuda over here. Why? So the Gemara has a funny expression. Sukkah is a mitzvah sesei, and Shabbos is an issa skilo. We're talking about Eruvi Chatzeres, so it's not going to be any skila here. But Shabbos is an issue of a malach, and malach is very chomer, and silk is only a mitzvah sesei, so maybe Rabbi Yossi distinguishes. It's a very difficult svar. We could have understood if they would have said, maybe the Gemara meant to say something else. The lashon of the Gemara is very, very dochuk. It could be that it means something else. When we learn Shabbos and Erevin, so we always talk about the mechitzas that are surrounding the Rishus HaYochid, we call them mechitzas. When you talk about a sukkah, you don't call them mechitzas, you call it defanos. So just the nomenclature seems to indicate that they're two different things. And there may be differences between them. That's famous b'shem Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rab Chaim has in a sefer that in Hilchas Shabbos, you don't really need that the mechitzas should be 10 tefachim tall. The makom should be the makom. We make a mistake when we think how what's the area, what's the size of the area. When you have mechitzas 10 tefachim tall, so the area inside has to be a minimum of dalad al dalad tefachim, not dalad al dalad amas. In order to be chayv in mezuzah, the room has to have dalad amas al dalad amas. In order to be chayv in makeh, has to be a bias. There are many different dinim of bias. Mihuisha, the potter from the army, mihuisha shabon a bias v'loch anocho. Yelech v'yosha lebeisa. So the Gemara says in Sukkah Dav Gimel, the bias has to be a minimum of dalad al dalad amas. That's what you're talking about, a beis dira. You're talking about a rishus sayochid, it doesn't have to be a bias, it has to be a makom. So the minimum size makom is dalad al dalad tefachim. Not at all dalad. Dalad al dalad tefachim is less than the size of the Gemara. Just 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. So we usually make a mistake. We think that dalad al dalad tefachim is the sheer makom, and then you have to have mechitzas 10 tefachim tall, that a makif the makom. So then the Mokum has the status of Rishus HaYochid. So Rab Chaim points out it's not true. The Mokum is a three-dimensional Mokum. The Mokum is Dalet al Dalet Begova Yud. The first 10 Tvachim of Avir is Mitzurif to the Mokum, and the Mokum has to be Mukav. The Shir 10 Tvachim is not a Shir in the Mechitza, it's a Shir in the Gova HaMokum. What's the difference if it's a Medrei Tahin, it's a Medrei Taher? So Rab Chaim has a Gemara earlier that let's say you'll have Mechitzas on Shabbos that are made from Atzei Asherah, that you're supposed to burn. Pasuk says the Chumash, Ashereim Tisrufum Boesh, you're supposed to burn. So there is a Machlekes HaTanoim, how do you deal with Asherah that's Oymed L'Sreifa? So the... here's the Gemara. I think we may have learned this already on Pei Amid Beis, on the top of Pei Amid Beis. So the Gemara draws a distinction between a lechi and a korah. A lechi and a korah. Just to remind you what we in the beginning of the Masechta, the very first Mishnah talks about a mavui that has three walls around it. So minatori you're allowed to carry if three walls is enough. When the rabbanon you must make a tikkun on the Ruch Revi. So what kind of a tikkun do you have to make? So if you make a Tzuras HaPesach, your problems will solve. You got no problem. What we call in Yiddish an Erev, you have Konim Mikam, Konim Mikam, Konim Abayim, so that's for sure a Mechitza. But the Mishnah is Mekel, you don't even have to make a Tzuras HaPesach on the fourth wall. You can put either a Lechi or a Korah. A Lechi means a pole that's 10 Tvachim tall. It doesn't have to reach the top of the buildings, just 10 Tvachim tall. And the Korah means a beam that goes across, let's say I have three walls like this, so the Korah goes across. So there's a difference. The korah has to be a tefach wide. The korah that goes across has to be a tefach wide, and has to bria has to be sturdy enough to hold bricks on top of it. If you would want to continue to build on top of it, the lechi doesn't have to be so sturdy, but the lechi has to be 10 tvachim tall. So each one has a shear. The lechi has a shear of 10 tvachim tall, and the korah has a shear, has to go across, has to be a tefach wide. So the Gemara has on Pei Amid Beis a distinction. What if I make the lechi or the korah with atzei asherah, with wood from an asherah tree, which is tohu sreifa? So there's one tana in the end of Menachos, one tana Reb Shimon is of the opinion, kol haimed lisrev kisorev dami. If you have atzei asherah that haimed lisreifa, I consider it as if it's non-existent. I consider kamisha eno. But we don't accept his opinion. We don't paskin that Oymed Litzrev Kisarev Dami. We just have a din of Kitoisi Mechta Shiura. If something needs a shear, let's say I write a get on a piece of paper that's Atzei Asherah. So there's a Ran in Gittin, the Ramon Ebenezer quotes this Ran in Gittin. So the Ran in Gittin says, if you would have accepted the view of Reb Shimon Baichoi, that Kol Oymed Litzrev Kisarev Dami, so it's considered as if you wrote the get on air. It's considered as if there's nothing there. But we don't accept Rav Shimon's opinion, Kolam and Lisrav Kisarav Dami. So we just say, Kitoise Mechta Shura. Whenever you need a shear, so whatever, Zayman Lisrav doesn't have a shear. But what's the minimum size that you have to have a piece of paper to write again? There is no minimum size. If you can write the whole get on the top of a pinpoint, it would also be good. You can't. It's impossible. Here I have a piece of paper. I wrote the whole get on the piece of paper. It's considered if it doesn't have a shear, but it doesn't need any shear. A lulav has to have a shear. It has to be 4 tvachim tall. A rabbis and hadasim have to have a shear. It has to be 3 tvachim tall.
You can't get Hanover, but you can't get Hanover from here.
Okay.
So how would they get beard?
That's another good kasha. How are you allowed to use it? Aren't you in violation of Yisuri Hanover?
It's a mitzvah of barbarian.
It's not a mitzvah.
It's
a nishke mitzvah to get divorced. You're getting hanoah. Okay. So you're getting hanoah. He's getting rid of his witch of a wife. He wants to get rid of his wife. So he's getting rid of his wife. He's getting hanoah. That's a sayin achanami. So he's getting hanoah. So he violated the din. The Gemara doesn't say you're permitted to write the get on Yisrael. The Gemara just says if you wrote a get on Yisrael hanoah and you violated the aver, but the get would be good. He's not allowed to. If he gets pleasure from getting rid of his wife, so he's getting hanoah from Yisrael hanoah. Stuck and not allowed to.
Who
in the mechitzas? The mechitzas getting hanor is only if you get direct hanor. That's the indirect. If I take the get that's yisur hanor and I give it to my wife and I'm so delighted that I finally got rid of my wife, so that's called getting hanor from the get. But if you have mechitzas and it allows you to carry, you're not touching physically, you're not touching the thing. That's probably called gram hanor. That wouldn't be a problem. See, here the Gemara draws a distinction. So it's like this. If the din would have been like Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon has called him in Lisrav Kisarav Dami, So then the get that's written on Atzei Asherah wouldn't be good. It's considered kimishena. But we don't pass like Reb Shimon, Kolayim and Lisvav Kisarv Dami. We just pass in a din. Kitoisim Echdu Shiura. Whenever you need a shear, the Lulav needs a shear, the Esrik has a minimum size shear, the Dasim and Arabs have a minimum shear, and the Kaira, the beam that goes across, has a minimum shear. It needs a shear of a tefach wide. The Lechi, the Gemara says, we don't say Kitoisim Echdu Shiura. So Toisim has the Kasha and Peyamid base. Why don't you? Why not? But the lechi also needs a share of 10 tvachim tall. So Tosis gives a doichik answer. So Rab Chaim made popular in his Sefer on the Rambam, he made popular the Shitas HaRashbam. They have the Rashbam wrote Hasogas on the Rif. We don't have it. It's part of it is still a manuscript, part of it probably was lost. But the part of it that they printed, so the Rashbam on Daf Pei gives this explanation to answer Tosis Kasha. Why don't you apply kitosim echt shura to the lechi? The lechi needs a shear 10 tefachim tall, like the current needs a shear 1 tefach wide. So the Rashbam says wrong. The lechi is a mechitza. Why does it need 10 tefachim tall? It's a mechitza. A mechitza doesn't really need a shear of 10 tefachim. The shear 10 tefachim is in the makom. A makom is dalal al dalal tefachim begova yud tefachim. It's a three-dimensional makom, and the makom has to be mukaf. Memele, of course the mechitza memele has to be 10 tefachim tall, otherwise the whole makom is not going to be mukav. But it's not that you really need a shear in the cheftza of the lechi. The korah needs a shear in the cheftza of the korah, like the lulav needs a shear in the lulav. The esrog needs a shear in the esrog. So the korah needs a shear in the korah tefach wide, and that we declare ki toisim echt shur. We consider it as if the shear is chopped up, broken up into tiny particles, and you don't have the shear of tefach wide. But as far as the lechi is concerned, you don't need a shear of 10 tefachim in the lechi. The lechi is just makif, the makam. The makam is a three-dimensional makam. So there is a Tosfos where Tosfos seems to distinguish between the fanus of sukkah and mechitzas of Shabbos. This is only by Shabbos where there's no shear. There's no halacha that the mechitzas of Shabbos need 10 tefachim. Mechitza of Shabbos have to be makam and the makam. The makam is a three-dimensional makam. Dalar al dal tefachim begova yud tefachim. So the mele the mechitza should be 10 tefachim tall. But by a sukkah, it would appear from the Gemara perhaps that the tefanis. That's why we call it with a different term. We don't call it mechitza. We call it tefanis. It's not just that the tefanis are makif the sukkah. No, you need a cheftza of tefanis. Learn that from sukkim. How many tefanis you need? So it could be that if you'll make the fanus of a sukkah 10 tefachim tall with Atzei Asherah, that would be no good. That's how Rab Chaim suggested, that would be no good. So that, perhaps that's what the Gemara is driving at over here. But the Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Yossi would distinguish between sukkah and daf peivav amibes. The Gemara says, maybe Rabbi Yossi says that a mechitza tluya is acceptable by sukkah, but by Shabbos he would perhaps disagree with Rabbi Yud, wouldn't even be acceptable, benegir to Erev Chatzeres, which is only the Rabbana. Why? So the Gemara says, because sukkah is only an essay, and Erev Chatzeres, sof kol sof, has to do with Shabbos, and Shabbos is an Issa Skila. So since it's Mochamer Yemachmer, and sukkah Yemekel, well, what do you mean Mochamer? Mochamer Mokal. So maybe what he's driving at is a different thing. Maybe what he means to say is that the sukkah and Shabbos are different dinim. Shabbos is a din you have to have, the makam should be mukav. So if it's a mechitza teluya in gedoyim bokim bo, so then the makam is not mukav. Mukav means that it's separated from the rest. So if gedoyim can walk in, so it's no good. By sukkah, it's only an es, and maybe what he means to say is it's a different din. It's a din of defanus. You don't call it mechitza. Mechitza means lachatzos, to separate between this makam and that makam. So mechitza is only called a mechitza if it's a gedoyim bokim bo. Because the Loshon HaGemara, that this is an essay and this is skilas, it's a little dechik. The first distinction makes good sense. The Rabbiud is only makel by din the Rabban, by din the Raisin is machman. That we understand. But the distinction in the opposite direction, Rabbi Yossi is only makel on sukkah. Chitza Tuli is good by sukkah and he's machman by Shabbos. Why is he machman by Shabbos? What do you mean he's a skila? But you're talking about Takana Shleim HaMelech over here. So maybe what the Gemara meant to say was something a little different. Maybe they meant to distinguish between the fanus on the one hand, the fanus of sukkah, as opposed to mechitzas of Shabbos. Mechitzas of Shabbos means, by definition, separations. As the mechitza means that it's separating. The mechitza in the shul is to separate between the men and the women. Well, you're going to say good achis. You're going to have a mechitza suspended. The men and the women are going to be sitting next to each other. So, or by kalayim like that. You're going to have... By kalayim, God, it is good. By kalayim, it is good. By klaim you can make a tzuris haPesach, and the grapes are growing on this side. Have grapes over here, have grain over here, and everything is leaning. The grapes are leaning here, and the grain is leaning there. But I have a tzuris haPesach, so the din is mishnah. I say that's good. That solves the problem of kilay. But from mechitzah between the men and the women and shul mishnah, it wouldn't be any good. You need a literal mechitzah. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yosi means here. That for Shabbos you need a mechitzah that's chotzis, that separates. So the good asik is the good achis is not going to help, because the gedoyim bokem bosa doesn't really separate. Masheni came by sukkah, it doesn't really need to be makif the mokem. You need a chepetz of a doifin. So then the Gemara, so the Gemara is not sure what Rabbi Yosi held. Gemara said, the first thing Gemara said, oh, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, they say the same thing. Then the Gemara says, not necessarily so, just because Rabbi Yosi is makel by the sukkah, that he holds that the fanas that are teluyos are acceptable by the fanas of a sukkah, it doesn't necessarily mean he would be makel by Shabbos. The Gemara says, wait a minute, but Rabbi Yosi lived in the city Tzipori, and they once had an asik. They didn't have the Sefer Torah in the shul. The Sefer Torah was in a different location. They had to carry it from the location where it was to the shul, and they didn't make an Erev. They had not made an Erev. So they put up curtains between the location. A chotzer, Shein Morev, is all different people lived in different homes around the chotzer. You weren't allowed to carry. So the shul, let's say, was over here, and the place, the location where the Sefer Torah was over here. So they made walls separating from the rest of the chotzer. They made walls going from here to here. So the only time you need an Erev chotzer is to be allowed to carry is if family lives here and a family lives here. Let's say in one place a family lives, the other place nobody lives there, shul. Nobody lives in the shul. They daven in the shul. Living haste, either makom pita, either the place where you eat your meals, or makom lina, the place where you sleep. So in the shul, nobody eats meals and nobody sleeps there. You eat shal shudas in the shul. But that's not your Shabbos that can meals. It's, the Beis HaKnesset does nasa. So the Gemara says, they made a mechitza teluya, suspended 10 tefachim tall, but it wasn't touching the ground at all, and they carried the Sefer Torah from the location where it was into the shul, in order to lay in on Shabbos. So the Shaila was, but this took place in Tzipori, and Rabbi Yosi was the rabbi who lived in Tzipori. You're telling me now that Rabbi Yosi is only mekel mechitza teluya in Sukkah, and he's not mekel in Hilchas Shabbos, even with respect to the Takana Shleim HaMelech, there with Chatzeres, how can you tell me that? Wasn't Rabbi Yosi the rabbi on Tzipori? So what do you tell me? Rabbi Yosi would only be mekel in a sukkah. He wouldn't be mekel in Hilchas Shabbos. And Mari answers, "Lo alpi Rabbi Yosi, alpi Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi." Rabbi Yosi had passed away already, and his son was now the rabbi in Tzipori. And his son didn't agree with the father. The son doesn't necessarily have to agree with the father. The Gemara suggests Rabbi Yosi would only be Mekel by Sukkah, he would never be Mekel in Hilchas Shabbos. But after the father died, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi was Mekel. The Gemara tells him, what was the story? So the Gemara says, the Maisu Shohoya. The Chiyose Rav Dimi, Omar Rav Dimi, came from Eretz Yisrael. He came to Bavel, and he told Obed the following story. Pamachas, once upon a time, Abdimi was in the days of Damarayim, and he's telling over a story that happened in the days of the Tanoim. So he says, Pamachas, on one occasion, Shachuchu v'laviyu Sefer Torah mibod yom, they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah an Erev Shabbos to the shul. So they're not allowed to carry it. It was a Chatzah Sheinim Urevis. So Lamochar, Shabbos in the morning, when they realized they had a problem, so what they did was simple. Persu Sadin Alhu Amurim, there were poles all over the place. So they took sheets and they hung the sheets up to make a corridor in the middle of the chotzer, so no one else's bayis bordered on this area. The corridor was separating the rest of the chotzer. So in the location where the Sefer Torah was, maybe a family lived there, maybe not, but in the shul nobody lived over there. So the corridor was just from this bayis to the Beis HaKnesset, so for that you don't need any Rubi Chatzeris. So they're allowed to carry. And these pierces sadn al hamudim, and the sheets were suspended above the ground, way more than 3 tefachim above the ground. And that was, so the Gemara tells us not. It wasn't Rabbi Yosi, it was after Rabbi Yosi passed away. His son was now the rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi. Pierces sadn al hamudim, Rabbi Yosef Tarvikorabo, period. So the Gemara answers, that's not Rabbi Yosi's sheet, that was Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi.
They were allowed to make it on Shabbos.
So now the Gemara asks the Kasha, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Perso lechatchila mishori? That's what the story was. They took sheets and they hung it up. How can you hang up sheets? There is a din. One of the 39 malachas is bona. So if you build a real house, that's binyan kavua, that's a malacha deraisa. Then there's an isa derabanan, every yav has told us. But there's a din midirabanan of ohel. Ohel means oil aroi. Binyan means binyan kavua, that's the real isa deraisa. And oil there are told us of baina also, that told us that a deraisa. And this oil aroi is an isa derabanan. So there is a machlekes atanoim. He learned that it's in the end of Erev, and it was in Masechah Shabbos, different Masech, and it's in Sukkot, and more quotes in different places. Are you permitted to do Tosefis Oil Aroi? To make Oil Aroi B'tchila B'Shabbos for sure is not allowed. If you have already a little bit, and you're just making a Tosefis Oil Aroi, let's say the window broke, the glass falls out, and it's snowing in, or it's raining in. So I want to put some cardboard in the window to prevent it from snowing in. So it's only an Aroi. I'm not going to leave the cardboard there kavua. If I plan to leave the cardboard, that's it. I'm going to put it in the cardboard, that's going to serve as the window. So that may be binyan kavua that you're not allowed to make. But if I'm just putting a little temporarily, I'm leaving some cardboard there to prevent the snow from coming in, and as soon as it comes Monday, I'm going to get someone to fix it and put a real window there. So that's called tosefis on an oil, and what I put is only aroi. So tosefis oil aroi is a machlekes hatanan, we paskin muta. Only oil aroi, so that's what the Gemara says. Pirsu sadnan lechatchila mishori. How can you do that? To make a corridor to separate the rest of the chotzer so no one should ask it. You make a corridor with these mechitzas suspended in the air between the location where the Sefer Torah is and the shul, in order that it should be separated, should be allowed to carry. I v'hakol moedim ola tanoim agrishen. There's some oil aroi, b'tchila b'shabbos. The machlekes hatanoim only is tosefis oil aroi. But to make an oil aroi betchila sihir, this is mamish what you're doing. You're making a corridor, you're making a mechitza salpidin, and mechitza hamateris is called einois and oil aroi betchila b'shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, it cannot be that the version that was said over is correct. That pirsus sadinim b'shabbos, they spread out sadinim. It must be they woke up in the morning and they saw matzu sadinim prusim alamud. Apparently someone had hung up their laundry on Friday, and then no one was paying attention, and then they realized they got a problem on Shabbos Friday night. They realized they forgot to carry the Sefer Torah. Then Shabbos morning they woke up and they found they're lucky. The laundry was hanging, the sheets were hanging in such a way that it made a corridor between the shul. So b'mikre, it turned out that there were mechitzas there. Mechitzas don't have to be put up. L'shem mechitzas, mechitza hamedes meila is also good. So this turned out to be mechitza hamedes meila. If it would taka be laundry that waves in the wind, so that's a mechitza sheni chal alamed b'fnei roch mitzvah, that wouldn't be good. It has to be something a little sturdier than that. It has to be something better than that. Yeah, that's a din for mechitza for Shabbos and for Sukkah as well. As b'chol alamid b'fnei ruach mitzvah. A lot of times people make an erev, so they put a pole here, and they have a sagging wire. When the wind blows, the wire is blowing all over the place. So that's not good. You have to make the wire. The Mishkan Esyankiv has like that. He has six. The Mishnah Brewer tells you, look in the chuvas of the Mishkan Esyankiv. He has six different reasons why a sagging wire is not acceptable. So one of the six reasons is that it's Eini Chol Alamed B'fnei Ruach Mitzuya is going to blow away. That's questionable whether that reason is correct or not. Why? That's a question. What's the definition of Eini Chol Alamed B'fnei Ruach Mitzuya? So the classical, let's say a lot of people have this sukkah. They have a frame of a sukkah and then they have cloth or they have plastic. So they have
Canvas.
Let's say you have canvas. So let's say it's not really tied down well. So when the wind blows, it's shaking all over the place. But even if you can huff and puff, and it's still going to have the dimensions of a tefanis. It's still going to be 10 tefachim tall. The bottom is still going to be within 3 tefachim to the ground, and the top is going to be within 3 tefachim to the stach. So does that bother me? The fact that the wind blows and it's bellowing in and out, in and out, in and out. So the Chazanish thinks that that doesn't pose a problem. Chazanish thinks. Eini Chol Alamed B'fnei Ruach Mitzuya means if the Ruach Mitzuya will blow, it will no longer have the dimensions of a mechitza. But if the wind blows and blows and it still has the dimensions of a mechitza, so it's a good mechitza. The Chazanish writes this, he knows he's disagreeing with all the previous poskim. So he writes, Mistim is Divrei HaPoskim Mashma. That's a lot of times he writes such a lashon. Mistimas dira poskim mashma. One gets the impression that it's okay. It's beferished. All the classical poskim say it's not okay, but that's his code. That's what he means. He's taking the responsibility to disagree with everyone. All the classical poskim before him say that it's not acceptable. In Eretz Yisrael, not a lot of places in the army bases they make on this chazanish. When they come to a location late on Friday afternoon, they have to make an eriv, so they'll use a big net. They'll take a net and they'll put it around trees on the outskirts of the whole area, and the net is very tall, so the wind blows, so it bellows this way, the wind blows, bellows that way, keeps on moving feet apart from each other, keeps on blowing this way, that way, but it's still always touching the ground, and it's still always 10 tefachim tall, and everything is lovely. The crisscross of the net is lovely. So the mekel in the army to rely on this chazanish. Look, as a shas atchak, so for sure they rely on the chazanish there. That's considered yichol alamid b'snei ruach mitzuyim. And the classical poskim say that that's not acceptable. If it blows so much, even though it retains the whole shear of mechitza the whole time, so the classical poskim say that's not acceptable. A little bit blowing, it's understandable. That it, look, wooden houses also. If you live in a wooden hut, so when the wind blows, the whole wooden hut is going to shake a little bit. So a little bit shaking is acceptable. That we know is okay. If it shakes a lot, then it's not okay. So that's a shaila. How much shaking is acceptable and how much shaking is not considerable acceptable? So some say if it shakes within three tefachim to where it should have been. If it blows, that's a whopper of a cooler. If it blows within three tefachim to where it should have been. Others say only allow one tefach to where it should have been. The three tefachim is a little too much. Different suggestions. What's considered acceptable? So here the Gemara has another kula, and it's a question: which Tanoim subscribe to this and which not? You mentioned before the fellow lives on the he lives on the 10th floor of the hotel, and he has a mepeset overlooking the ocean, so he's not allowed to throw in a bucket. That's the Mishnah and pay Zion on the base. He's not allowed to throw a bucket into the ocean, because the water in the ocean is in the Carmelis, and he's taking it into the hotel room. That's a Rishus Hayochid. So the Mishnah had, however, if he has his Mepeset, is attached to the outside of the hotel, and he has the wall of the hotel is one Mechitza, and then he makes a second, a third, and a fourth Mechitza, just cardboard walls that extend below the floor, 10 Tfachim. So I have four Mechitzas that are 10 Tfachim, so it's all suspended in midair. So we make a Kalosh Kilo Chachamim B'mayim, to carry from a carmelus of the water into the Rishus Hayach is only the Rabbanan, so we make that a mechitzat tlui is acceptable. So now the Gemara has a kula on top of a kula. Not only is there room to be mekel if it's suspended like this, what if the whole mirpeset? The Gemara has on the last line on Peizayinam and Beis, a quoted Tana. The Tanya, we have a Bryce, last two lines. Rab Chananya ben Akav Yoimer. He's not quoted that often in the Gemara. Hanani ben Akav Yoimer Gezustra. If you have this mirpeset, you have the porch. Sheyesh bo dalet amos al dalet amos. Every ama has six tvachim. So if you have dalet amos, you're going to have 24 tvachim by 24 tvachim. So if you make an opening exactly dalet al dalet tvachim in the middle, so you're going to have 10 tvachim in this direction, 10 tvachim here, and 4 tvachim in the middle. So that's going to be 24. The whole mirpeset that he has is 24 by 24. So if he's going to drill a hole in the bottom of his mirpeset, the hole is going to be dal tvachim al dal tvachim. So if he puts cardboard walls down the four sides, so that's vertical. Mechitza is supposed to be vertical. So he has vertical mechitzas 10 tefachim tall that are suspended above the water. Usually mechitzas that are suspended above 3 tefachim are not acceptable, but on top of the water we make them. So this Tana has a kula on top of a kula. Not only would we allow if the mechitzas are suspended, even if the mechitzas are lying flat, the mechitzas go here, the hole is over here 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and I want to declare that area where the hole is as a Rishus Hayach. In order to be qualified as a Rishus Hayach, it has to have a minimum of Dalat Tvachim and Dalat Tvachim. So I have 10 Tvachim Mechitza here, 10 Tvachim Mechitza, but the Mechitzas are horizontal. You have to have vertical. So he says, I have the right to visualize. He's using his imagination. Have the whole Yisr Hoitzo is only the Rabbanim, because you have Mayim, it's only Carmelis. So I have the right to visualize is if the 10 tefachim that's extending horizontally would be totally vertically, and if it would have been vertical, but it's ten stories above the water. No, mechitza tli is good al gabi hamayim, and I say kuf for good. I visualize as if, instead of being horizontal, as if it would have been vertical. So this is a kul on top of a kula. So the Gemara says, is that the same as what Rabbi Yudah said in the Mishnah? Gemara says, no, that's already a bigger kula. That's a kula on top of a kula. Just because Rabbi Yossi is makled by the sukkah and Rabbi Yudah is makled by the Shabbos, it doesn't mean that anybody would go so far to be makled to say kul for good. That you say good aches after visualizing the horizontal mechitz as if it would have been vertical. This is a kula on top of a kula. Right? So that's what the Gemara discusses. How many Tanoim would subscribe to that kula?
In a case like that, assuming it's done, is a guy living a floor above him, can he use the same hole?
Yeah.
And a guy living
you mean they should ask around each other?
If you have an Erev, the answer is he could probably use it.
If you have an Erev, for sure they can use it. What if they don't have an Erev, Echatzeres together?
So if you have an Erev, can a guy underneath him use that hole too?
Yeah, everybody can use it. They're mechitzes, yeah. But it's a shayla of an Arab that they ask. So they're dinim in Mishnais and Shulchan Aruch about that. God, that's very complicated. The Eruvin, the Arab with the different people, that's more complicated than the rest of the Arab. Yeah. We have a takonim in the Rabbanon that's alluded to in the Chumash. At the end of Parshas Bishalach, the Torah says that after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jews loved it there by the Kriyas Yamsuf. There was Bizus Hayam. Everybody's getting rich over there. The Gemara says there was more wealth that they picked up from the Bizus Hayam than they picked from the Bizus Mitzrayim. So everybody wanted to stay there to take more. So the Pasuk says, Vayasa Moshe is Bnei Yisrael Yamsuf. Moshe Rabbeinu is chasing everybody away. Genuk. You shouldn't hang around over here. So it says they start traveling by Yetzo and Midbar Shur, and there was no water for 3 days. They had nothing to drink. So the pshutah shal mikra, ain't a mikra, it's in the pshutah. There was no water. They came to the city Mara. There was water, but the water was bitter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayere Hashem Eitz, Vayashlech al HaMoyim, Vayim Tukla HaMoyim. The water became delicious. It tasted good. This was Anes Betochnes. The Gemara says that the Eitz that he threw in itself was a bitter Eitz, and the water was bitter. Somehow it became a Yim Tukla HaMoyim. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is, there was no water to drink. The Gemara sees in this pasuk an additional level of interpretation, an allusion to a takana de Rabbanon that was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the Rabbanu Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a takana, it's a takana de Rabbanon. It's not, it doesn't become a din derais. What the Rabbanu Shalom says is a din derais. If Moshe Rabbeinu reads in between the lines and makes a kalvachomer zereshava or something like that, that'll become a din derais. But Moshe Rabbeinu makes a takana, Moshe Beis Din make a takana, that's a takana de Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, "Vayelchus shloshes yamim v'lo mayim ala Torah," that there was no public learning. Some of the people were learning privately, but there was no public learning for 3 days. No one was giving any shiurim, so that was a disaster. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the rest of the takana is not alluded to. So the Gemara understands that this is a remnant of the takana shloim amela, the takana Moshe Rabbeinu, that they made a takana. You shouldn't go 3 days without kriyas ator. So that's why we have kriyas ator asheni v'chamishi. And on Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, this is listed among the 10 takanas of Ezra. Ezra lived centuries later, the beginning of the Bayesheni period. How can you tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu made the takana? The Gemara says, no. The takana was initiated by Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Ezra enhanced it. He gave more aliyahs and more psukim, whatever. He modified, he enhanced the takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what's called Dibri Kabbalah. When you have a Din de Rabbanon, that's either recorded in the Vimuk Suvim or alluded to. So sometimes this is called the Takana of Kriyas Ator, Sherem Chamishi and Shabbos, that you should learn 3 times a week, is considered in the Gemara, Diri Kabbalah, apparently has the approval of the Rabbanu Shalom, that the Rabbanu Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu to write in the Chumash Ve'echel Shlosh Yamim Vav Midbav Le'motzamayim, with the additional level of interpretation alluding to his Takana de Rabbanu. In Shulchan Aruch, there is a discussion. Let's say there was a snowstorm and nobody showed up in Shul on Monday. So, should you learn Kriyas HaTorah on Tuesday? You will prevent the Shlosh Yisamim B'loi Torah. From Shabbos to Sunday to Monday is only 2 days. You go till Tuesday, then you'll prevent it from going 3 days without learning. So, some Achrenim write on the side of the Shulchan Aruch that Teres Kedim says, yeah, that's a Takana Shloim HaMelech. You should learn on Monday. If Monday doesn't work out for some reason or another, So you should lay it on Tuesday. The accepted opinion is that it's not so. That even though the whole rationale for the takana of Kriyas HaTorah She'enem Chamishi was Shaleichu Shosh Yomim V'loi Torah, but bottom line, he only made a takana that you should lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday. So when a person gets an aliyah, so the Mishnah says and the Gemara says you have to say Brichas HaTorah. Most of the people already said Brichas HaTorah when they woke up in the morning. Before they start davening, they said Brichas HaTorah. So how do you have a right to say another Brichas HaTorah? Isn't it a brachal of atol? The answer is Kach Tikten Chachamim. You should say Brichas HaTorah when you learn privately, when you say Ezel Mekayman, and then when you have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, that's part of the Takanas Chachamim. So if you're going to lay in on Tuesday, if no one lay in that Monday, you're going to lay in on Tuesday, so you're going to say Brichas HaTorah, so that's going to be, that's what the Poskim assume, that'll be a brachal of atol. You only have a right to say Brichas HaTorah in addition to the Brichas HaTorah that you said already when you woke up. You only have a right to say a bracha if it's in conformance, if you're conforming to the Takanas HaChachamim. The Netziv has a tshuva, an interesting tshuva. Some wealthy balabata wrote a Sefer Torah in Chicago, and then they had the whole celebration on Sunday. Monday through Friday, everybody has to go to work. And Sunday, no one went to work, so they had a whole dancing and singing and music in the streets. And then when they finally came to the shul where they were machnas the Sefer Torah, so they decided they're going to auction off the aliyahs and they're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah. So some of the rabbanim said it's brachal of atola, some said it's not brachal of atola, gman agansa machloikas. So they couldn't find any rabbis in America to determine what the din should be, so they sent the shadow to the Netziv. So he has in his tshuvas, he thinks that it was brachal of atola. He thinks that you only have a right to recite brachas on Kriyas HaTorah if it's a day on which the Chachamim were misaken Kriyas HaTorah. But on Sunday, on a plain Sunday, then whatever misaken. If you would be on, let's say, on Monday, and everybody already heard Kriyas HaTorah, you want to lay in a second time, he thinks that wouldn't be a bracha levatol. Let's say we do it all the time on a Tainas Tzibur. The Takonis, Bizman HaGemar, they only had Kriyas HaTorah on a Tainas Tzibur to Mincha. They didn't have Kriyas HaTorah with Shachris. The Vilna Gaon points this out from the Rishonim. And the Kriyas HaTorah and Shachris was instituted Bizman HaGoyim. They didn't have Bizman HaGemar. So why isn't that a bracha levatol? Who gave the Goyim the authority to make a new Takonah? So the answer is, that's what the Netziv said. You don't need, if it's a day on which you're allowed to lay Kriyas HaTorah, so you can lay as many times as you want. That's okay. So if they would, if the Maisa Shoya would have been in Chicago on a Monday, they would have, everybody had already lain in the morning, want to lay in the afternoon, that wouldn't be so terrible. He wouldn't consider that a bracha l'atola. That's what we do on Simchas Torah also. Right. We lay in Leil Simchas Torah, then we lay in the morning of Simchas Torah. There's no takanas chum to lay in Leil Simchas Torah. The answer is, you're laying the same thing twice. On the day of Simchas Torah, you have to lay. So you can either lay it in the daytime or at nighttime. So we decided to lay twice, like on a Tanis Siva, we decided to lay twice. So that's not a bracha l'atola. But to lay on a Tuesday, even though you'll be gaining the reason, you won't be going Shlosh Yisamah V'loi Torah, but there never was a takana to lay on Tuesday, so that's what most of the poskim assume, that that's not proper. Yeah, the Pashto says you may lay. Some argue that whenever you lay Kriyas HaTorah, but it's a din deraisa, you have to lay. Some say Brichas HaTorah that we say for private learning, that's only the Rabbanim. The real Brichas HaTorah deraisa is only when you lay in the Tzibur. They say if you're going to lay in, a lot of shuls they lay in on Hashanah Rabbah. Lay on Hashanah Rabbah, they take out a Sefer Torah. So sometimes if you're laying without a bracha, you're violating mitzvah deraisa. Because the Brichas HaTorah deraisa, when you lay in
Betzim. But the bracha that you made in the morning, you can't do it
then. No, that bracha was only the Rabbanon, they say, because if you're learning B'yochid, now it has to be deraisa. Next Sunday.
Yeah, next Sunday. Not Sunday.
This coming Sunday, I'm going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and next Sunday, I'm coming back from Miami. Right. Yes.
I know, Jonathan's arranged to send a pick over the airport.
Yes,
so
okay.
It's Yerushalmi that holds Birchas HaTorah, the Tzibur is deraisa.
That's what some Achrayim understand. The Bavli perhaps holds Birchas HaTorah is deraisa. Meyachid, Yerushalmi holds only the Tzibur. So the Yerushalmi holds if you're laying on Leil Hoshanah Rabbah from a Sefer Torah, so a lot of Chassidus Shtiblach, they lay from a Sefer Torah, they don't say a bracha. So Rabbi Rafael Valojin has in his Teres Rafael, the son of Abdi Netziv, he thinks that they have, according to the Yerushalmi, they have a battle in mitzvah deraisa Birchas HaTorah. Because Birchas HaTorah is only deraisa when you lay in the Tzibur.
Yeah, you used to say that you shouldn't take that aliyah on Leil Simchas Torah. I thought you say don't do it as Brachal Vatala, now you're saying according to the Netziv it might not be because you're laying on a night of a day of...
No, the shaila is, can you be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah of Simchas Torah Balayla?
Right.
Maybe you can't be Yetzer. Maybe you can only be Yetzer Bayom.
Right.
So the Marsham has a tshuva. Apparently, under the communists, they forced all the children to go to school all day long on Shabbos. So the Frume people didn't write any notes on Shabbos. They didn't do Chil Shabbos. But they couldn't daven Tfila B'Tziva, so they daven Mechida. So they were they going to have Kriyas Atar. You can't have Kriyas Atar in between one class and the other. So the Masham has a tshuva. Let them learn Kriyas Atar Friday night. What's the problem? Whenever there's an obligation to learn Kriyas Atar on a given day, if you want, you can be Yetzer Balayla before Baharaya is up there from Simchas Torah. What is the Kriyas Atar all about? He thinks that you can be Yetzer the Simchas Torah, they can Kriyas Atar, Leil Simchas Torah. So he says the same thing on any Shabbos, if you want to learn Parshas Hashavu. So if you say like then if you say like this Marsham that you can be able to create a Torah Balayla, so then the laning that we have on Simchas Torah is the same as on a time of Sipa. You're laning twice on the same day when there is a Takanas Kalim. It could be that we don't accept this Marsham.
We usually accept Marsham. What is why do they lane on Simchas Torah?
Yeah.
And the Rashi is you take an Aliyah? You usually
against the Aliyahs. Rav Soloveitchik used to. I didn't realize it. I was once in Boston on Simchas Torah. And the Rav, I didn't realize what was going on. The Rav told the Gabbai that she give me Shlishi. And I was a bacha then, I was very young. So everybody was ooing and eyeing. So I didn't know what the big deal was. So they told me years later that the Rav would always give the biggest Talmid Chacham, the Shlishi. Because the Vilna Gaon used to take the first Aliyah on Simchas Torah night. Gemara says that Rav Kari B'Kahane, Rav took the first Aliyah all the time. Whenever he was in Shul, took the first Aliyah. So we don't do that on a regular basis, but the Vilna Gaon did that on Leil Simchas Torah. He took the first Aliyah. So he told me Rav Soloveitchik used to look around the shul to give the Shlishi on Leil Simchas Torah to the most becoved Digadam. So the people, they told me this many years later. They told me this, that they were very surprised that ever no one knew who I was. Why did he decide to give me the Aliyah?
I was surprised anyone. I thought when I was in Yeshua, you told us not to take an Aliyah on Leil Simchas Torah. You thought it was brought over Tal at the time.
That's what I said.
I think you might have said.
It is questionable.
Then you got it. Then the Grav took an Aliyah.
Grav took the first Aliyah.
And he was Mechabed you also.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I misunderstood.
What to do with the Takana Moshe and Halacha Moshe in Sinai? Halacha Moshe is what? Is that the Araisa? Is that the...
Halacha Moshe Nisim means the Rabbani Shalom told Moshe...
He read into the lines.
No. Halacha Moshe means there's no mocker, there's no mocker Chumash.
But it's a
din the Araisa, which is only transmitted by Pep.
It's only written by Pep.
Yeah, and Takana is Moshe Rabbeinu.
It's his own Takana that he...
But apparently has the approval of the Rabbani Shalom, because the Rabbani Shalom dictated to write in the Chumash in such a way that it's alluding to that Takana.
Mm-hmm. So this guy's in Chicago, if it would have blamed Sunday night,
it would have been moved to negotiate. They could have shared away a couple of hours.